Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For sale, baby crib, full of cigarette butts. That was a short story by Ernest Hemingway, I believe. Lore Boys here. The internet's hey. Everyone's fake history podcast, making a return to the Tau Empire of Warhammer 40k fame. I'm your host, Ethan Palmer, as you probably could have guessed by the fact that this is a Warhammer episode. Although I guess if you knew us well enough to know that I would be doing the Warhammer episode, you probably know my voice by now. With me is Peter.
That's true. Yeah. Hi, my name's Peter O'Donohue. I don't cover Warhammer. I have thought about doing the Sisters of Battle, but just don't.
Yeah. I'm Jesus, and I'm Paul.
Okay, that none of that picked up. Yeah.
That didn't pick up. Yeah, that was bad.
Right? Okay, I'm James Miller. I was at the bottom of the well, but I just clambered out.
Oh, that's where he was. Okay. Yeah. It sounded like somebody kept opening and closing the cap on the well as you were trying to speak.
Discord noise gate. They just literally put a physical cap on the top of the well every time you're trying to speak.
Exactly. Yeah.
Scene in the first Ace Ventura when he's sliding the glass door
exactly
screaming.
Like that. Yeah. Exactly like that. Yep. This is a part two episode, so do check the description for a link to the first one on our site, or you can look up the Tau Lore episode, maybe it's Tau Lore part one, in our feed, and listen to that one before you listen to this one, probably. If not, you might be a little lost, but yeah. For the boys in the room who don't have the luxury of listening to the last episode, you guys want to do a recap? This is my favorite part about doing two-parters, is making you guys do the recaps.
Oh, good. Yeah.
What's a Tau?
Not a cow. It's not a cow.
Not a cow.
No, they got hooves, though.
They may or may not have hooves, and I will disclaimer for your guys' sake, I did fuck this up royally in the last episode and said the Tau were the Kroot, but the Tau aren't the Kroot. The Tau are their own thing. The people that I described and spent so long describing, those are the Tau. But I called them the Kroot on the last episode. The Kroot or something else.
That's what I was going to say, is because I remember we called out the correction on a previous episode a couple weeks ago, and then somebody corrected us in Discord as well, and I was just like, the Tau are the blue race of aliens within the Tau Empire that kind of control most of it. They're like the psychic politicians, I guess, because they use either pheromones, which we called out, or psychic energy to kind of keep everyone in a caste system or something like that. They have like engineers and pilots, and it's like a race of aliens that are open to letting in other races of aliens, which is weird for 40K. And they all kind of find a job within a system. They're very, very, very communist, very flat structure with like a couple of psychic wizards whose names I don't remember, but they have the diamond in their forehead. Yeah. They have the diamond in their forehead that they use to be more equal than others, basically, sort of thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say all that too.
Mostly all of that. You both got it mostly right. Then one thing, it's specifically not psychic powers, because the Tau are known for not having psychic abilities, which are tied to the warp or the immaterium. So that's why we said probably pheromones, because I don't know. There's three things in the world: psychic powers, pheromones, and magnets. And you know, we know it's not psychic power, so it's magnets or pheromones is what we're saying.
Well, it can't be magnets, they don't have their vaccine. Jamie's magnetic now, just like the rest of us.
Got vaccine 4 hours ago, so there may be side effects that just pop up halfway through the episode. I might fall down a well again, who knows.
That's it. Why do you think the government works so hard to phase out like money and hard currency? It's because they knew that the magnets in your blood would make the coin stick to your hand and be a dead giveaway. So they got the young generation, the Zoomers, to stop using cash, and now, you know,
we switched to Apple Pay because now that our blood is magnetic, it fucks up the strip on your credit card.
And what are magnets other than magic rocks? I'll take a sip to that, boys.
Me too.
Yeah, sure.
Very good.
Jamie's calling it out here.
Yeah.
keeping us honest. Somebody's got to.
Someone's got
to. Ethan and I would have blown past that magnet thing without drinking, and somebody would have tried to call us out, and we would have told them to go to hell. We would have banned them.
Absolutely banned. Yeah, speaking of banned, check out the Discord. There's links in the description here. I know we're 5 minutes into this episode, so if you stuck around this long, for us to still be plugging our socials is a little bit, but Peter pretty much hit the nail on the head. Here's what I have written. As a recap, the Tau
ignore are a, Peter. Good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything they said was wrong. No, I mean it's pretty much spot on. The Tau are a unique blue-skinned species of alien, a curiously young race of beings who have rapidly developed faster than light travel and who believe in doing all things in the name of the Tauva, or the concept of the greater good, a religious concept instilled upon them by their ruling class, those known as Ethereals. The Tau Empire has been around for about 6,000 years. So, in the 40K universe, Jamie, how many years has there been in the 40K universe? So if we start at zero, if you ignore the 8,000 years that the Emperor lived before zero, how long have we been around in the 40K universe?
Is it? Do I have to minus? Is it 32,000? Or no, it's 40K. No. You were trying to make it easier for me, but okay, 40,000.
It's actually I was trying to make it easier for you, but I was also trying to trip you up because it's actually 42. Like we're in like 41745 or something when this is taking place. So okay. Warhammer 40K should be named at this point in the canon Warhammer 42K. Is what okay. I'm trying to get out here.
But then there's a problem with Take-Two Interactive and their subsidiary, which is Take-Two Game or 2K Games, so they didn't want to get that all mixed up. Yeah, okay.
They didn't want to think it was 40 companies of 2K Games.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Instead, they'll pawn 40 shitty basketball games on you each year.
I want to get the Basketball Marine Army next. Frankly, they're one of the chaos armies. The Basketball Marines are pretty good.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, he's really good long range and short range. Like he can do the layups if you get up close with him, or long range, he'll hit those 3-pointers and he'll knock your towel right down.
Yeah, he's from the he's the Primarch of the army. Is that and then
yeah.
Dude, he hits on threes. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So the Tau Empire's been around for about 6,000 years, relatively short, all things considered, when humans, in a very real sense, have been around for 200,000 at most, 10,000 at minimum. Like, we've been around longer than the Tau at this point, and they're already have mechs and travel to the stars and all these other fantastic things, which listen to our last episode if you want to hear more about that. Throughout the course of their expansion, they subjugate lesser races like the Kroot, whom I mistook for the Tau on the last episode, and also the Vespids, who Pete correctly called out are like wasp people, who, again, we talked about last time. You can listen to episode one again if you forgot all the fantastic things that I told you.
There's a lot of wasps in Montreal this year, and they're everywhere. And
there are.
It's something about the queen, like, has gotten everything she needs for the season, so she just sent them all out. And, like, you see single wasps everywhere you go. Like, they try and land on you, they don't bite you, but there's a ton of them. There's articles about it. I didn't read them, though.
I did read them. This is Jamie reading just the headline, going onto a podcast and spouting the headline. No. He has gone full Joe Rogan
someone
on us.
He's ready for Rogan. That's it. That's all you need to do. He's qualified.
I didn't even read the headline. Someone told me there was an article about it. And that's my extent.
I heard about it on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah.
Wasp venom was the cure the whole time.
Yeah, they're just all wandering, though. Careful for wasps.
Yeah, we need the Tau to show up and subjugate them so they start working for the greater good and not the greater evil.
Yeah, I mean, they're standing on the side of the highway with their bindles and their, whatever, one of their two hooked feet, like, up in the air. Don't pick up a wasp if you see one. The queen got all she needed.
We'll sting for muffins.
I just want one drop of warm Pepsi. That's all I need.
Okay, so as the Tau, not the wasps, begin to spread throughout the galaxy, much like wasps that spread throughout Montreal, the Tau cross into a region of space known as the Damocles Gulf, and in doing so, they would eventually encounter the massive, sprawling Imperium of Man. So we know a few things about humans in the 40K universe so far. We do have earlier episodes for anyone who hasn't heard them.
Friendly, cooperative, they love themselves, especially mm-hmm. their own bodies.
Big fans of music. They're not the type of people who would ever send Johann Sebastian Bach out to like an outpost to be a scout for incoming armies or anything like that.
He's referring to my Civ 5 game where I didn't make friends with anyone, so I couldn't make my musicians go and spread their music to other civilizations, so I just use them as basically meat shields. So if I knew an army was coming in, they would kill Johann Sebastian Bach before they would hurt my capital soul. Yep.
So the Tau and the humans are pretty different. Pete was lying when he said those things. Humans are pretty xenophobic, pretty... you know, conquering. They're conquer focused, you know. They invade a lot. They go on crusades a lot. We're going to talk about a crusade on this here episode here.
I heard on a different podcast that the crusades were actually good though. Did they change that?
That the crusades were good. The crusades in 40K were good?
No, I'm fucking kidding. I'm talking about like the actual ones in the 1000s. Like 1098 or whatever.
Yeah. Do they call it 1000s? Are we in the 2000s right now?
Technically.
I guess.
It's the 21st century.
It means that's true, yeah.
Of the 100. Century is 100. Cent. Roman for 100. Or Latin for 100, I guess I should say.
Why does centipedes never actually have 100 legs then?
Atheists. I blame the bullshit cucks beta scientists who named them, honestly.
Yeah.
Not the people who invented numbers.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't the mathematicians who were just like, oh, we need some way to describe this animal. Well, we could invent math and then highway it from there.
They couldn't use triangles to count the legs, so they just
exactly.
Yeah.
Pythagoras' theories.
By the centipede.
Yeah, Pythagoras' theories of centipede legs. the Tau and the humans are pretty different. Like I said, the Tau believe in the Tauva, the concept of greater good. They want to preach the good word and, you know, indoctrinate people to believe in their way of life. Humans are like, we're going to kill you if you're not a human. Much more so in that field. The Tau...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty human. I mean, it's pretty real. The Tau are on the eastern periphery of the galaxy, Galactic East, encountered... and as they are, they encounter mostly fringe elements of humankind at first, because they're on the, like, they come up on the edge of this sprawling intergalactic empire, which has spent 10 or 12,000 years trying to rebuild itself from what it once was.
We're like the first contact here is in the past from 40K, like way in the past from then, right?
Yeah, it's not so long ago. I actually didn't.
Well, I guess if they're 6,000 years old, it would have to be within between 34, or I guess if we're in 41 now, it'd have to be between like 35 and 41 or something, right?
I think it takes place around 40K. Like, I think it takes place around that benchmark there. Okay. I didn't write down dates at all because they're meaningless in a fantasy world. But yeah, it's much more recent than that. Like, we'll get to it in the end, but they don't end up warring so much, all things considered, for like a Xenos species to be interacting with man in a way that man doesn't try and kill them all is good for them, you know? So the Tau end up running into mostly like renegades and pirates, kind of like, you know, humans cast off from the galactic center, living on the fringes, you know, outer worlds, periphery kind of thing, where it's the Wild West, essentially, that they end up encountering first. So they come up upon all these like old cowboy towns, you know, boots and spurs, all that stuff, all the worlds that they visit.
I want to apologize in advance, but all I could think of was just like the local gunslinger, and he's just like, this town ain't big enough for the blue of us. And he's about to like... It's the stupidest fucking thing. He's like challenged a town to a duel.
Now I'm picturing a tumbleweed, but instead of being like a dried plant. It's like an alien, just like a mass of tentacles, just like cartwheeling itself across the sea.
Flopping around.
It's like some alien octopus that lives in the desert, I guess. I don't know.
Like, what would spurs even be used for in a spaceship? Instead of like a car key, do you have it like at the bottom of your chair? Hook the spurs in. You have
a key on either heel, and you just stick it into like, you straddle like the engine, you just like hook it in.
I have a 2016. I have like a spurless entry now. It's pretty great. I get to wear normal shoes finally.
so the Tau meet these humans. And they start doing what they do. They indoctrinate a few. They, you know, sometimes meet with, like, pirate gangs who are, like, not cool with, you know, these guys are outcast from society because maybe they were too xenophobic and racist for the xenophobic racist empire at the center of the galaxy.
Too extreme for the Imperium of Man is that's not guys I would want to fuck with. Yeah. That's like dog park people right there.
Exactly. that's a lore boys canon of who they might have run into, because all we know is really that some of the contacts were like friendly and they were able to open trade with people, and then other ones they did have like outright engagements with like these kind of orbiting worlds.
Now, but, just a kind of a broader 40K question. Not every planet is like the sister of battle planet, right? Like, there are planets where people are slightly more sane, non-religious zealots, right? So they could show up on a planet of like farming hicks or whatever, who are just like, well, howdy, stranger, you're awfully blue and weird looking. Let's hang out and let me smell your forehead and join your religion, sort of thing, right?
Yeah. So the Astra Militarum, the Imperial Guard, are kind of that. They're kind of like, you're Joe Schmo, who's living in a hell universe and having to deal with horrible monstrosities all the time.
Yeah.
It is like extremely grimdark, where you can be the farmer type, but if you're written as a character in a 40K story and you're written as a farmer, you're gonna die. Like, aliens are going to invade and rip your daughter in two in front of you, just as the forces of chaos split a tear in the very fabric of reality and, you know, impale your head on a spike, kind of thing.
Okay.
So few and far between, I guess. But yeah, there's absolutely like agrarian worlds, which are like their only purpose is to feed the Imperium of Man and like
corn.
Produce food for people. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Corn and wheat, as far as the eye could see. This planet's one biome. It's the corn biome.
Desert world, fire world, ice world, corn world. Okay.
But yeah, all this to say, like, sometimes it's friendly, sometimes it's not friendly. Eventually, the Tau Watercast, who we talked about in the last episode, they're the ambassadors of the Tau. They make good like merchants and envoys, things like that. They go out in search of these human settlements to convert people to the Tauva and the Tau way of living their lives.
For like the corn world, I just picture like, how would you guard that? Like, do you have scarecrow mechs walking around, like making sure everything's fine?
Yeah, yeah. like just like one day this like alien UFO like lands, and then just like these giant alien crows get out, and all the farmers just like, oh no.
The scarecrow mechs go out from their T-pose and point their arms forward, missiles start coming out.
So eventually the Watercast is sent out to kind of assimilate some of these other worlds, no longer just like making trades with them, but to actually convert them to the Tau way, because they have no concept of this like giant looming threat of utmost destruction at the hands of the Imperium of Man, kind of just like behind these fringe settlements. Take a look. You okay,
oh my god, dude, that went down the wrong pipe. I almost died. I had to mute myself. There's not even any alcohol in this beer, dude. Like, I just don't know how to drink.
They start converting people. And after a year spent making contact, the Watercast eventually comes to understand that these disparate factions were but slivers of an incomprehensibly vast superpower in the galaxy. So they're like, oh, there's this like semi-intelligent alien race. Let's convert them. We've converted semi-intelligent alien races in the past, right? Yeah. We did it with the Kroot. We did it with the Vespids. We did it with a bunch of other ones. So
the Crow people.
The Crow people.
Yep.
Yeah. Just because they kept eating our corn. We had to teach them that eating corn is part of the greater bad.
Maybe the Corvids, probably. That's the easy name for that. For the Crow army, for the 40K.
The Corvidians.
Sir, there's a message from the Corvidians from you. They say they're out of seed.
Yeah, just this. It just like a scroll. It just says caw, caw, caw on it.
Yeah,
we will return. We will return. We will answer in kind.
So the Tau start working on it, and then one day they're like indoctrinating a guy, and the guy's like, "Yeah, man, the Tau, that's great. We should let like the entire Imperium of Man know, you know, let them know the good ways." And the Tau's just like, "The what? Excuse me?"
Yeah,
and yeah, it turns out these periphery worlds were but the tip of the proverbial iceberg.
This is pretty interesting, like, reversal of normal kind of a lot. Like, there's the sci-fi cliche that we often write from the human perspective of just, like, making contact with an alien empire and then being like, wow, like, catapulted into the future. Like, Mass Effect is right? And there's other things as well, but, like, Mass Effect is the thing that's popping into my head now where you find, like, alien ruins on Mars and then all of a sudden, 20 months later, you're part of the government.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this is the reverse, where aliens are making contact with our vast empire and having the exact same experience, which is pretty cool.
Again, it's very much the Tower, like, that nascent race of, like, their rebabbies in the, you know, they still believe in the greater good. They still believe that, you know, they still believe in rainbows, essentially.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Imperium of Man, rainbows have been outlawed.
Yeah. Well, you can't really see that far up in the sky, what with all the smog on the forward worlds.
Yeah, exactly. Smogs don't make rainbows.
just like black and yellow, just like, yep, that's it. It's like an acid rainbow.
Imperium of Man just beat the shit out of all the leprechauns who were at the source of all the rainbows, right?
Yeah, they turn them into servitor leprechauns, basically. Yeah. They're just like hovering skulls that just, they hover around with like pots of gold in their little claw.
It would be like an entirely black and white rainbow with just like one line of blue in it. I feel like, you know, ultramarines.
Oh, for the ultramarines?
Yeah. Or for the thin blue line that dumb people have in the back window of their pickup trucks.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
Thinking the same thing, yeah. Oh, yeah, thin blue line, the ultramarines to keep us safe. Yeah, yeah.
exactly. I mean, there's a parallel there. We don't have to get into it, but... So yeah, there are those of the Tau who want to take a shot at the big dog and be like, okay, well, there's a bigger empire out there. Let's just like, let's go. Like, we got guns. Let's take them on. You know, no problem.
You can get these pamphlets to Terra, dude. Trust me, it's going to be fun. Don't let us in.
No, yeah, they're not even talking about like indoctrinating them. They're being like, let's subjugate them, you know? Mainly outspoken leaders of the Firecast who are calling for a war of conquest. And kind of all the casts are kind of having this discussion. I'm sure the Earth cast is like, let's build a pyramid for them, you know? And the Air cast is like, let's live in spaceships for them. But the fire cast being the gun cast is like, let's gun them, you know?
There's no pyramid in this field of wheat. It's like, well, yeah, because we need to irrigate that land. No, we'll help. Don't worry.
Eventually the ethereal cast, the ethereals weigh in. They called for merely the integration of the Imperium of Man into the Tau Empire. Surely an achievable goal.
You have an empire and we have an empire. Why don't we just have a very big empire? It's just like, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, what would we call this empire?
We'll call it the Tau Empire.
No, <wow. laughs> Can we at least call it like the Imperium of Tau?
No. Our name is much better.
Okay. I'm going to just write a letter. Don't mind me. Just says caw, caw, caw.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the orders were simple. The orders from on high were simple. And the first step starts with some good old-fashioned diplomacy. The water cast were to align themselves with some of the dissident human planets and provinces, and over the course of decades, insinuate themselves with the leaders of those planets, known as imperial commanders or planetary governors. It's literally just like, hey, don't go converting people to the Talva. Just make yourself useful, make yourself a presence there, and become buddy-buddy with the ruling powers.
The mayor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks the parental guardian or whatever you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this colony over 18? Can I speak to this colony or this colony's guardian?
Oh, you say you don't have one. Well, perhaps I could be your daddy.
Smell your smell my forehead.
Come here, little child. Put your nose against my forehead.
The creepiest one.
It's okay. It's a pheromone. I promise. No psychic powers.
It's like the little, you know, like those like old timey French perfume bottles that had the little like air bladder that
a little spritzer.
I was thinking scratch and sniff, like you had to kind of dig in a little bit.
And I'm thinking of the flower on a clown's lapel. Oh,
where do you squeeze though?
That's its coat.
That's where it becomes really creepy. Where you ask the little child to squeeze. Thanks to the approach laid out by the Ethereals, the influence of the Tau was able to spread much further into the Empire than they would have with a full frontal assault, as advised by the Firecast. With no one calling the cops, it spread unchecked until they began to interfere with something more important than a few disparate colonies' leadership. Eventually, as the Tau influence spread, people stopped trading with the Imperium's merchant cartels. Hot Topic was on the verge of going out of business, okay?
Oh, no!
basically what caused the Imperium and Man to take notice of this, like, alien race that's been kind of being a big presence in some of these people's lives is the fact that they stopped trading, like, they stopped asking for corn, you know? And they're like, we got corn planets, and they're like, no, these guys got corn planets? They don't even need scarecrows. They just got the crows on their side. It's incredible.
But the crows are part of they're part of the greater good now.
Yeah, exactly. They're eating crows. Yeah, you guys wouldn't believe it. It's crazy. It's crows too. It's amazing.
Yeah, there are so many crows today on the soccer field because it rained. I guess we're getting worms. I wanted to go down and feed them and see if I can get them to recognize me so I could have like crows on my side, you know?
They do that, eh? They'll figure out who people are. They're like crazy intelligent.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, if you're... You ever got a few minutes, like, just go make some friends out of some crows. You never know when it might come in handy. Yeah.
There's, like, a great story from the BBC, or maybe it was an Australian story about a little girl who trained mockingjays to, like, fetch her baubles. And I just saw a video somebody posted on Reddit. He had trained some kind of corvid, some kind of jay, to identify money, like bills.
I saw that too.
Yeah, he's got a drawer of like bills
full of cash because it would just fly around the city and probably take it out of tip jars or people who like drop bills and stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if there was like a raven perched on your like tip, if you were a waiter, okay, waiter or waitress, let's just say here you're going out.
You're working at Hot Topic, okay?
you've got the tray that's out on the table. You've got to go spray it down, you know, clean everything. And you've got your little tray with, like, the receipt and the tip in it, and there is just the biggest fucking crow you've ever seen in your life. You'd think you were about to die, and then that thing would take your tip and then fly off.
Yeah. That's how you make your passive income, though. That's like the Sigma male grind set, you know? Like, you just get a crow, you teach it how to steal money.
No, Sigma male grind set's still goddamn Bitcoin. The alpha brain. Alpha brain is the fucking crow thing, because you and nature are working together, and there's nothing more alpha.
Guys, we can't go down another Alpha Sigma rabbit hole, okay? I had to cut 40 minutes out of the last episode. It's too much, okay?
All right, we'll finish it later.
Yeah. Too hard to cut around. Take this off, Barry. So the Tau had been training crows to not only steal money from people, but to train other people. The crows were training humans to stop trading with other humans and instead trade only with crows. Okay. Strange alien technology was flowing through the markets, and forehead diamonds became all the rage. All this was, of course, in direct violation of Imperial law, and Daddy God Emperor surely would not take kindly to it. This, however, was anticipated by the Ethereals. They figured that it probably wouldn't last forever. This, hey, we're just assimilating your people. Be cool, bro. Approach probably wouldn't work forever.
I don't think that would work for most governments, let alone the Imperium of Man.
Exactly. So even the apple-eyed Tau were not so naive to think that that they would just get away with it.
Yeah. Okay.
So they execute Order 66, and upon a score of Imperial worlds, Watercast envoys and ambassadors began to preach the greater good word, and they found many human populations very willing. So now they're being like a little more forceful in their conversions and being like, no, you got to submit to the greater good now. Now it's time. You know, we've been friends for a while. Bill, but it's time that you join my religion or get the fuck off my planet. And Bill's like, but it's my planet.
You gotta buy some Tupperware or you gotta stop eating the onion dip right now, Susan. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Bill, do you see this contract? It says you signed over the parental rights to the planet, okay? I'm dad now, okay? Bill, you can either be one of my kids or we can throw you into the vacuum of space, okay? That's the deal, Bill, okay?
Yep.
Sniff this flower on my lapel, would you?
the pink cloud straight into his face is like, oh. Yeah,
yeah. All right, now put her there. And he's got like one of those buzzing things in his hand.
Okay, so are the Tau just like... like mischievous mimes?
They are now, yeah. Orboy's canon.
Okay.
Some affiliation with crows. So.
They can create like invisible barriers, but it's not psychic powers, okay? They can create like an invisible box, but it's not a psychic power.
It's just stink powers. Well,
Now I'm just fucking imagining like a bunch of Tau getting out of a tiny car, and it's just like a swarm of crows pouring out of it as well.
I was imagining
a terrifying thing.
I was just imagining like a Parisian mime spraying pheromones all over a crowd of people, like watching. They're not actually doing anything; they're just convincing people that they saw something with the power of stink. Like
the power of stink. I like that.
So the rebellion would begin shortly. Planetary governors declared themselves free of the Imperium, wanting instead to spend Christmas with their cool, new, blue-skinned stepdad. The Tau Empire expanded as the human worlds entered the fold, and these worlds became known as the Farsight Enclaves. I was thinking we would get to the Farsight Enclaves a bit more today, but I ended up cutting some stuff. But basically, there is like a playable faction of the Tau in the actual tabletop game. Where you can play as like the Farsights, and there's a Commander Farsight, and you know they're
cool.
They're known people.
Not so much Farsight on your side then, if we didn't get to the
you got me. Or I'm looking very far. Maybe I'm looking farther than this episode.
You've had a 1,000-yard stare this whole episode. Yeah. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of Gary Larson's The Farsight, which is like. Just like the goofy newspaper comic on whatever planet.
Do you mean
that season of the future or something?
Yeah, well, it's the Tau comic that's about like cows and dinosaurs and shit.
Yeah, yeah, and probably crow aliens. And like he would have a joke about farmers on a planet made of corn with crows suddenly landing, and it would like the caption would just be like, "Brenda, get the shotgun" or something, you know.
This is an ill omen is a much more Gary Larson.
Ill Omens part 7 or whatever. So the Imperium sent inquisitors who found not only human planets turning to the Tau way of life, but also evidence of an empire of its own in the outer reaches of those distant arms of the Imperium of Man. So
it's all this dead, and we've heard people on this planet have been thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And they show up, they're like, "What have you been thinking?" And the guy's like, "Well, blue skin guy from the Empire next door said I could." "There's an Empire next door? Why didn't you report that?" "I don't know, they had shiny baubles. I figured it was cool."
They bought way more corn.
A cardinal of the world Brimlock, name of Esau Gurney, called for an imperial crusade to be launched to purge the fringes of alien life. So again,
is a cardinal a type of corvid or
it's not actually. Okay, it's fantastic. Yeah. I wish. Boy, do I wish. The crodinal, Esau Gurney of the world Brimlock. Yeah, so there's a religion built around the Emperor of Mankind, obviously. He's a god to the people of the 40K universe. So one of the people who's still loyal to the Emperor in kind of one of these fringe worlds is like, all the nearby planets are turning to communism. We need a goddamn crusade.
Okay, there's a narc.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The humans, doing what humans do best, unleashed a force that attempt to do just that and get rid of those filthy Xenos. A dozen capital starships, 5 provisional companies of space marines, and almost a dozen chapters and 19 regiments of Astra Militarum, 7 of which were from Brimlock itself, took off into the ether to plant their flags into planets and their boots onto necks. Now, 5 provisional chapters of space marines is like pretty significant. I don't think it's anything we've ever talked about before, but Space Marines are super prevalent with, like, when we're real life humans living on Earth in the year 2000, and we talk about Warhammer 40K, you often find yourself talking about Space Marines. Like, an event in the 40K universe where Space Marine shows up is, like, super rare. Just because, like, they're really relatively limited in numbers. Like, they're very finite, whereas, like, the Imperial Guard are, like, every planet has a cohort of Imperial Guard. You know what I mean? Like, every
Space Navy, they'll take just anyone, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The Space Marines,
The problem with the Space Navy for the longest time was they couldn't get a good air seal on the bottom of their bell bottoms. So they couldn't really, you know, they were slower to develop, basically. But yeah, so like actual, like obviously it happens in conflicts that we talk about a lot. But if you think about it in the scale of the galaxy, having, you know, the whatever 100 subdivisions of the 20 original Space Marine chapters show up at any one place in the galaxy is just like super, super rare. And there's five provisional companies of Space Marines that show up to this crusade. So it's pretty well stocked, all things considered. You know, they're pretty well bolstered. The Crusade first reasserted Imperial rule in several of the rebellious post-Imperium worlds, where those implicated in treating with the Tau were summoned to a court juried by the furious Crusaders, of course. They basically went to planets, kicked out any aliens that they saw, or killed any aliens that they saw. And then any humans that were there were put on trial, and they played judge, jury, and executioner in that trial, and basically said, like, did you talk to any aliens while we were gone? And, you know, Bill's like, no.
Sounds like a real, like any kind of trial in 40K is just kangaroo court. It's completely over.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just there, shanghaied out of his bed. He's got like a fake diamond, like resting on like a little crown piece that he's got over his forehead. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, aliens.
Yeah. The jury is entirely scarecrows. I can see them. They're in the room with me.
now, Mr. Defendant, is it or is it not true that when we came to arrest you, you said good day? Now, I'll have you know that there's no such thing as a good day in the Imperium of Man, my good sir.
Like a crooked cop arresting someone and like dropping a little glitter on their forehead.
And he like plants the Tau thing. I love how every lawyer since the Futurama Super Chicken is just like a Southern gentleman. Or is that from To Kill a Mockingbird? Is that where that started?
It's definitely didn't start with Futurama. Futurama was definitely spoofing like the small town country lawyer. Yeah. I don't know where it started originally because I don't think. I'm blanking on his name right now. It starts with an A.
Atticus Finch.
Did he have a southern twang? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't remember.
It was a book, guys. You could put whatever twang you want.
It was a book. There was also a movie, but it was a book.
Yeah, it was Gregory Peck was the actor. He did not have an accent in the film.
Yeah.
It sounds like, based on what the story is, it sounds like it would have been taken place in the South.
But
right?
But a mockingbird, a corvid. So, you know, it all comes
through.
To Kill a Mockingbird is the story. That's like the Bible on the corn planet. Like, but it's a much more literal reading. Like, it's just how to kill a mockingbird. Yeah.
Well, no, the mockingbird is implied because it's not actually in the book. You have to interpret the bird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The mockingbird was a carpenter, actually.
Dude, you guys remember Boo Radley? What a guy.
Yeah, man. What a name. Yeah.
Okay, it's very quick aside. You may still be able to find it. There is a very old, like, Newgrounds video called How to Kill a Mockingbird, where Boo Radley hatches from an egg, and then there is a space battle at the end. I will put it in Discord if I can find it, but How to Kill a Mockingbird is something you should look up.
Do a bunch of stick figures fight each other and there's blood everywhere at the end? Because
it's from that era, but there's like very basic CGI and shit.
I will say, Peter just said this, and I will put a little footnote on what Peter just said. If you Google How to Kill a Mockingbird, you probably won't get this Flash video that he's talking about.
Yeah.
You'll probably get the book by Harper Lee.
How to Kill the Bird.
You'll probably get the book by Harper Lee. But I don't know. Maybe you have some like Google search history that's going to just point you right there. Maybe you're there. I don't know. I'm willing to bet.
So just go to like Newgrounds Flash video, How to Kill a Mockingbird.
That would work.
2007. XXX
Yeah.
Big boobies.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, big boobies. The first open conflict between Tau and man would occur within Tau space in an abandoned star system known as Hydus. 7 Tau warships were dispatched, and the Crusaders attacked on sight. The Tau, however, dealt massive damage from a distance the Empire could not match, the Tau warships launching torpedo salvos from an almost undetectable range. This is going to come up a lot in this story, but it mimics how the Tau are played in the tabletop game, where they're long-range specialists. You plant them at the back of the battlefield. When you set up your miniatures, you put yours, if you're playing the Tau, you put them like as far back as you can, and they all have sniper rifles and beam cannons and are able to attack at like crazy range. The same goes for their starships. Bomber waves were launched by the humans, but were countered by escort ships launched by the Tau. It was a Space Marine strike cruiser, a small, wickedly fast starship, which would tip the scales. The Astartes managed to break through the Tau enfilade and open a hole for some frigate-class starships, who were able to deal devastating damage to the Tau. Like I just said, it seems the Tau, while adept at range, lacked decent broadside firepower. So yeah, it was literally, hey, they were dealing damage. Then once the Imperium was able to get close enough, they couldn't defend themselves anymore. They were getting slaughtered, essentially.
They weren't smart enough to put Lego pieces all over the ground in their starships to trip up the Space Marines.
Exactly.
Their floors were completely smooth.
Yeah.
The parental guardians made their kids clean up. So
the colony was under 18, so the floor was clean. The job had all been done.
The Tau, realizing their alien goose was cooked, deployed screening starships and attempted to withdraw their larger ships. The first battle was over, and the Imperium of Man had won. The war continues, however, after the break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The first land engagements between the Tau and the Imperium of Man would not be as one-sided as the previously discussed space engagements. But, bolstered by the Astartes' support, the Astra Militarium continued its advance into Tau space. Welcome back from the break. I'm Ethan. We're talking about Tau. Huh? Tau. T-A-U.
Yeah, if for some reason you skip to the middle of your podcast to see, like, I wonder where this one's going.
Or maybe you paused. Maybe you're like, hey, I do need a new cigar fridge, which I assume was the ad you just heard. And are like, yeah. I, you just spent the last 40 minutes looking up reviews for cigar fridges, then, or humidors, I think they're called. Maybe you just ordered a Primo humidor and you got back to us and you said, like, what the hell are they talking about? Land war, space engagement. I thought this was the Glover episode.
I want to try a cigar. I haven't had a cigar in a very long time, and I don't know if I've ever had a good cigar.
So. Go to Stogie's.
The Lore Boys does not condone the smoking of cigars, despite how much we talk about them.
I'm the only tobacco smoker on the show, and you can all shame me for that. That's fine by me.
I will, thank you.
Yeah, I will, but only in private. I will do as I usually do and call you at 11 p.m. tonight to let you know what I really think.
Don't worry, before you go to bed. I got the pack with it'll affect your babies, so don't worry.
Oh, the empty crib. You have to sell that on Kijiji. Yeah. Sell it on Craigslist, say never used, and then someone will post about it. Be very sad.
For sale, baby crib full of cigarette butts. That was a short story by Ernest Hemingway, I believe.
It's got one of those rotating things on the top, but it's just an ashtray. Like,
yeah, it's, mobile. It's an ashtray with butts hanging down, like, because you got the little ridges in them where you can like rest your
just cigarette butts and one empty syringe, just kind of like circling on the mobile above the baby's crib.
The gentle like spinning of the smoke would probably help put a baby to sleep, though. Just watching it kind of drift off to that, be pretty.
Yeah.
And their pile of cigarette butts.
Yeah. So 7 million Tau are lost at the Battle of Silkel? S-Y apostrophe L apostrophe K-E-L-L.
Oh my god.
Cycle.
S-Y apostrophe Y apostrophe?
No, S-Y apostrophe L apostrophe K-E-L-L. S-Y-L-L.
Cycle? Silkel? Okay.
Silkel? Yeah.
I don't know. I like living in Quebec. My name with one apostrophe gets butchered every day. I would love to see a Frenchman try that one.
Mr. Odenug.
Silkel sounds like an actual French word.
That's like which one if you're like from the country. It's like Silkel.
It's straight up French. Okay. Straight up Quebecois, at least. Right. Yeah. So the Astra Militarum is the Imperial Guard, the humans, the Imperium of Man are advancing through the through Tau space now that they've left reconquering human worlds in the past. They conquer Silkel, but they kind of have their first conflict on land because they actually conquer this planet. So they kind of then realize like, oh shit, they got some like legit tanks, because the Tau grav tanks bolstered by the Firecast warriors held them admirably, and you know, they lost some skirmishes on the planet. So they're kind of waking up to the fact like, oh, these guys aren't fucking around, you know. They are fucking around fighting for their very existence here as we're in their house. In their house, kicking their dog and breaking their fish tank. Like,
we attack them unprovoked. They're really, really, really defending themselves. I don't know why.
I mean, unprovoked. Hey, there's an argument there. Yeah. Other planets, like the ice world Vissel, with nothing but some Tau fisheries on it, were simply bombarded from space until the ice melted and the Tau on the planet drowned.
Oh,
literally, that's flash cool, flooded to death.
That's pretty cool. They have that global warming cannon. They're just like, take them out.
Yeah, exactly. it's just like an aerosol can spray, like giant.
The ones from the 80s that have that awful shit.
Yeah,
it's just a CFC.
Chlorofluorocarbonate. Finally, after months of traveling through the Damocles Gulf, the Imperial Crusade fleet arrived in the Daleth system within the Kendral subsector. Jamie, can you read back the location that we just ended up? Or
the Carolfelf subfelter.
pretty close. I would have asked Peter, but he was writing something down for the show notes. So
yes.
So Peter, why don't you go ahead and take a crack at it?
You said the Carol subsector?
Kendral subsector, and it's the Daleth system that we're looking at. Okay. This is the home of a significant Tau populous planet, Daleth
says,
Prime.
We start as the Night Elves, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just north of Kalimdor. So the outermost system, outermost planet in the system, excuse me, Praien is Praien. I don't know. P-R-A apostrophe Y-E-N. There's an apostrophe in every single one of their names. It's a little silly. I'm going to say praying, because they're praying for succor from these gosh dang humans, huh? This outermost planet, Praien, was protected by a Tau orbital space station intended to provide the first line in a layered defense for the system. Now, above previous planets that the Imperium of Man has taken out, there's been these orbital defense stations, and they haven't been that impressive. They've been pretty lackluster, I guess, pretty milquetoast, if you will. Yeah. The Imperial fleet kind of overconfident,
like picket fence. They're just like, that'll get them.
yeah, exactly.
Where does milquetoast come from? Because I know it's spelt with the Q and not the milk, but is it literally like it's just as boring as milk on toast?
I don't know. I've never looked up the etymology.
Caspar Milquetoast was a popular American cartoon character created by H.T. Webster. The term milquetoast has since come to be used for a meek or timid person.
I thought it was just the two most boring basic things, like milk and toast together.
It was the class I started with in Bloodborne. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
So the Wikipedia page for milquetoast is the two sentences I just read you. Then it says milquetoast may also refer to. It talks about some other things, including milquetoast, the class available in the video game Bloodborne. Then it says, see also milk space toast, a dish consisting of buttered toast and milk, which sounds horrid.
It's like milk steak.
That is the whitest dish that has ever been created. I swear.
It sounds like something that was invented in Britain during the Blitzkrieg.
Yeah. some fussy child out there would not have her spaghetti bolognese. and so the parents were just like, okay, we'll give you more toast with butter and milk, I guess. This is the only thing you'll eat, so.
It's like, well, the English, they liked French toast, but they hated the French. So they just took the egg out of there, and they got milk toast.
Egg is the Frenchest part about that.
Well, that's the only thing that makes it French toast, I guess,
cinnamon.
Right?
Cinnamon
is optional. Maple syrup's optional. I agree with Jamie. It's eggs and toast. Egg milk toast. Egg milk bread, is the bare bones recipe.
Right, bread, because toast, it's not really toast until it's done.
Welcome to the French toast episode of the Lore Boys. Welcome back from the break where you heard about cinnamon toast crunch, premier cereal from General Mills.
Should we get into club sandwiches next or what?
It's been a long time since we brought up club sandwiches on this show.
I had one last week. I will not talk about this.
Oh, I love club sandwiches.
They are good. I miss them. Yeah. So the Imperial fleet coming up on Praian proved too casual for its defenses, perhaps overconfident from their previous victories over the Tau in space. The first salvo of heavy railguns mounted to the orbital station hits them with a devastating impact, crippling one starship as a dozen Tau starships round into view from beyond the planet Praian. So it's like, the Tau aren't fucking around now. They're like, the Imperials have been like, it's been pretty easy so far. This time, the Tau showed up, you know?
All their other orbital fences had, like, the gate with the lock on the inside, but it had, like, the little hook on it that you could just reach over and unlock it yourself.
They had, like, a little string running over the fence that you just pull on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all their diagrams are drawn in 2D, but space is 3D, so you can see your window.
It was a really tall picket fence, okay? The Imperial escorts engaged the orbital station while the main battle fleet swung to engage the Tau starships. Arriving piecemeal through the Tau long-range volleys, the Imperial Navy nonetheless began to win out once again, once they'd gotten close enough to engage effectively. So again, they're proving they take damage, but once they get within the defenses, it's kind of over for the Tau, it seems like. This time, however, the Tau don't retreat. They don't deploy screening ships, and they don't pull back. They're engaged with them in kind of close quarters combat, even though they're losing. They stand their metaphorical ground behind their metaphorical picket fence. As the Tau starships were slowly ground down, the Imperial escorts were taking heavy losses against the orbital station as the transport ships of the Imperium closed on the planet itself. So they're trying to land their ground army on the planet, right? That's like the whole point of this, is like control the planet and you can control the space above it, I guess. I don't know. As they did, however, a crude war sphere built for ugly up-close fighting appeared as though from nowhere in the midst of the transports. So now the armies are at risk. So the ground troops are at risk all of a sudden. Crude war sphere, I included in this because it reminds me so much. It reminds me so much of two things. Reminds me of a double-ended butt plug, which I think is the more accurate description of it. But it also reminds me... Go ahead.
Never heard of that, but okay, yeah, let's move on.
No, I don't know if it's a thing, but you can picture what a double-ended butt plug looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like the two teardrops facing themselves.
Exactly, it's just two plugs.
With that handle in the middle, right?
You need a big taper in the middle so you don't lose the whole person in the other person's butt, right?
Yeah, that's the safe way to do it. You don't want to get it under that muscle shelf, right? It also really reminds me of Axel from Twisted Metal, the guy who's just standing there T-posing with the two wheels on either side of his arm.
Oh, man, that was a fun episode. We watched all the intros on YouTube after.
That was a hoot.
Yeah.
So the troops are trying to land. The transports are trying to get to the planet Praian to land on it. But the crew, this Kroot War Sphere shows up. Axel from Twisted Metal shows up and starts wreaking havoc. The troop ship scattered, but the Kroot War Sphere dealt them wicked damage as they tried to flee. Disengaging from the Tau starships, the Retribution-class battleship Blade of Woe spun to engage the Kroot ship and save the transports. The Imperium eventually would crack the Tau defenses at Praen, but the cost of it was exorbitantly high. This was a very costly engagement. It was described as a Pyrrhic or Pyrrhic victory.
Yes. We've talked about this before. That's when you just, like, clog the rivers with your own dead to like, starve your enemy, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if they had a force of 2,000 and you had a force of 10,000 and you lost 9,950 people, but you killed all 2,000 of them, it's like, we won, yeah. But it doesn't really feel like you won, you know?
Pyrrhus was, what? Like, a Greek or Roman commander in the BC times or something, yeah.
He was a Greek king in 326 AD.
There we go.
He was also the alternate name for the son of Achilles, Pyrrhus. Pyrrhus, oh. Pyrrhus meaning fire, and Achilles' son was named that for his fiery red hair.
Why has that never come up in a video game? I played a lot of, like, over-the-top war games, and they'll say, like, slight victory, convincing victory, and they never say pyrrhic
victory.
It comes
up when you should play Total War. It's Total War. It's one of the win conditions is a pyrrhic victory.
Have you not sacrificed enough classical musicians in Civilization yet to get a pyrrhic victory?
You had to use, yeah, 1,000 great artists to kill this one marine, yeah.
I would see 1,000 DJs die before I let them through the gates of this city!
Yeah, so the victory for the Imperium is assured. They overtake Praen. But it costs them a lot. Many of the Crusades' command council advocates turning back, as the Battle over Praen had cost them at least 4 capital ships and 14 escorts. The allure of assaulting Daleth Prime, a major Tau hub and center of this sector, what they were going for in the first place, does prove too strong. They're like, well, we could retreat, or we could keep going and get that juicy, juicy civilian deaths that we're looking for. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? So, go for the moral defeat.
Exactly. So the Imperium decides to press on. The orbital stations around Daleth proved to be less powerful. There was 3 above Praen, and there was just the 1 above Praen, which devastated them so badly. But these ones seemed to be, like, less well-equipped, and they were probably more cautious, too, after the last encounter. They were like, maybe we shouldn't just, like, walk at those things, you know? See those big rail guns? Maybe, like, let's just, like, spread out. I don't know.
Yeah, we were walking single file, and it really took out a lot of dudes when it shot in straight line.
Yeah. With the orbital defenses dispatched and expecting another Tau fleet to arrive at any moment, the Imperial ground assault commenced as soon as they were within range. So they pretty much beat the Tau fleet for this sector during the Battle over Praen. So there's not really any space defenses from what they're doing, but they do want to capture this planet, so they're not willing to just go the way of sinking it under ice flows with their global warming ray.
Okay.
The first Imperial invasion force soon stood outside the first of a huge number of Tau cities. The full force of the Crusade was deployed, and the invasion began in earnest. Titans, sometimes called God Engines, and armored formations were the spearhead of their advance. The forces advanced on the Tau city of Gelbrin. Titans are, like, the biggest unit you can get if you're playing, like, the tabletop version. I'm pretty sure Games Workshop doesn't sell them, but they have, like, an affiliate company that makes, like, the really big models. Like, if you get, like, a foot and a half tall model, it's, like, another company that makes it. But
I actually do know this. There are some Titan models made by GW, like, internally out of the plastic that, like, my Sisters of Battle and your orcs are all made out of, yeah. All that shit. But there is a 3D printed one, because they're too heavy for the plastic that the figurines are made out of.
Okay.
They're made out of resin. And if you want to look, there is a guy on YouTube called Midwinter Minis, who does, like, painting tutorials or, like, just a bunch of, like, mini painting stuff. He's pretty great. He has a Warlord class Titan 3D printed model that the hand of the model is bigger than his wife's hand. Yeah, it's huge.
You can get like 6 foot Tau body pillows too, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, the Games Workshop body pillows are all bullshit because you have to like sew them up and like stuff them yourself.
Yeah. And whatnot. let me press my nose to your forehead, Diamond Senpai.
Son, what are you doing in there?
Jamie, if it helps, you can picture Titans as giant scarecrows.
That helps, yeah.
So
I've
as
been picturing every character as a giant scarecrow thus far. Up
Except yeah. for the crows, right?
they're just giant scared crows. Yeah.
Well, they're all just a bunch of southern lawyers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I do declare this warlord titan is very much steaming my lemonade.
What's amazing is I'm sure that I wrote a Futurama reference in this episode. I don't know if I've already gotten there and blown past it or if it's coming up, but I for sure distinctly remember writing that being like, is Futurama relevant anymore? Probably not, but I'll keep this in here. So it may have come and gone, but I do like that Peter got to another one with the space chicken, the southern
super
space
chicken. Yeah, yeah.
So the forces of the Imperium are waging ground war against the Tau city of Gelbrin. They're advancing upon it. As they advance, they were subjected to the familiar long-range artillery, and they sustained heavy losses in their advance. Units were dispatched from the Imperial forces to take out the Tau spotters aiming for the artillery, but when they tried to engage, they were often ambushed by Tau jump troops equipped with cloaking. So Tau jump troops are like their most elite units. They like have jetpacks, they like jump into the battlefield and are better at close range. These ones had cloaking, so they kept like being like, oh, there's a guy with binoculars and we're getting hit with artillery, go kill him. And then they like send two guys to go kill him, and then three Tau guys would show up and kill those three guys, two guys. Yeah. Gradually, the coherency of the Imperial Wedge was broken up. By the time they reached Gelbrin, they had broken up and reformed enough to be three separate wedges. So again, they were once a spear point fronted by just Titans and some armored divisions. Now they're like kind of more spread out across. Yeah, exactly. But they're kind of like spread out over like kilometers, and they have like different spearheads. One of the wedges was made up almost exclusively of Titans from the Legio Thanataris, but the heaviest of the Imperium's machinery was met in kind by the Taus. The Tau super heavy robot fighting thing is called a Mantis ship. There are super ships of the Tau, and they engage the Titans while the rest of the ground forces lock jaws as well. One of the spear points was fronted by the Astra Militarium, the Imperial Guard. They ended up having fights with Kroot in kind of this like outlying town, like who, and the Kroot were like, it was kind of like city warfare, like, you know, in the streets. And then the Supermarines, or the Ultramarines, or a division of Ultramarines, end up locking jaws with some of those jump troops, the Tau jump troops that I talked about. But it does kind of ground to a halt about 20 kilometers outside of Gelbrin. The front, kind of the southern or the northern front would stabilize. And it just ended up being this, like, long wage slow conflict now where they were hoping for a speedy resolution to this whole thing. It was okay. Like the U.S. getting involved in Afghanistan 20 years ago, just being like, well, in and out in a couple of months, home by Christmas, fellas. It's turned out to be pretty ugly in the end.
I can't believe it's still September 6th, 2002, guys.
So led by General Wendell Gage of the Astra Militarium, the Imperial forces dug in to avoid the worst of the Tau artillery, because now that, you know, the advance has kind of stopped, it's harder to get out of the way of artillery. The Tau night fighting capabilities far exceeded the Imperium's, which is like, we're year 41, 745, and we haven't figured out, like, how to see in the dark.
Flares.
I didn't
just launch into the sky.
This was included in the description of this battle, and I was just like, I don't understand how in the future dark is a problem for us. It's not a problem for our soldiers now, like lack of light, like
space though. There's like this a bunch of matter that like
you're on a planet. True. They're in atmosphere. You could tape like a magnesium strip to a rock and just throw it. You have like a bionic suit.
It's a dark matter planet. There you go.
You can't see nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Nighttime is still a problem because in the 41st millennium, they've forgotten like spotlights.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there was a dark age of technology, and maybe, you know, Edison was never reborn. They never reinvented lights. They have all these amazing things, but like all their, like when you're inside a starship, it's all kerosene lamps. They have to whale. They have entire planets dedicated to whaling, essentially.
I was thinking like there'd be a mech who completely couldn't see because there's just wax melted all the way down with a big wick on his head, and he runs out in front, and he's just a candle.
He's wearing hockey pads and with like a big candle strapped to his head.
It'd be like you'd have like the Astra Candelabra or like the army of like the guys strapped with candles.
Very good. So Space Marine Patrols were helping with the See in the Dark because they have genetically enhanced senses. Again, not night vision in their helmets, but
smell.
Smell, and they probably have better night vision because they're, you know, children of the Emperor in some way.
Right. They've got the carrot tank next to the reactor.
Just straight carrot juice. Just intravenous carrot juice for them.
Gasoline and carrot juice, like two separate tanks.
Exactly. Pour sugar in the carrot juice. The suit never turns on again.
No, don't worry. He only shot my carrot juice tank. Like giant rabid bunnies appear from over the hill. Oh no!
They were a problem on the corn planet too.
Some guy is like flicks a cigarette into a trail of carrot juice. He's just like, I got him, and it just like burns up and blows a kind of pieces.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Die Hard 2.
Someone smelled carrot cake.
So on top of the fact that they can't advance and they're just getting kind of pot-shotted at night, in the skies above, the Imperial fleet was on constant alert for what they considered an eventuality, the arrival of a new Tau fleet. They're like, we're blockading this Tau planet. Eventually, someone's going to fucking show up. Like, let's wrap this up, boys on the ground. Come on. The Crusade ships were badly damaged and could barely protect the transports, let alone provide air cover for the ground forces on Daleth. So they're like, we're saving the transports to get you guys out if we need to. We can't help you on the ground, kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
With each day, more Tau arrived at the front, on planet side, from elsewhere in the world. So this is like one narrow strip 20 kilometers north of one specific city, and like they're boating Tau in, being like, yep, you know, your Uncle Sam needs you, kind of thing.
Okay.
Uncle Tau needs
Vietnam.
You. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if...
pointing a hoof.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless you're talking about the Tau as the Viet Cong, I don't think you could say, like, their Vietnam an interplanetary force landing from above and promising them, like, entire annihilation. That doesn't sound like Vietnam. It was becoming clear to General Gage that the Crusade might be in over its head. Plentiful reinforcements had been promised to him by the Fat Cats at the center of the galaxy, but none had arrived for him or his forces so far. So when the Crusade got kicked off, they said, you're going on a Holy Crusade. Don't worry. We're getting more guys. We're going to ship them to you in no time. And like to
that's
date...
That's exactly like the real ones where it's like, well, actually, no, they all kind of just ended up in Venice and got bored.
Exactly. To date, and we'll talk about what Venice is and why they don't show up, but none have showed up so far. After speaking with an inquisitor of the Ordo Xenos, the alien hunters faction of the Inquisition, Peter made a great joke about them, but for anyone listening, there's the alien hunters, the demon hunters, and the witch hunters, which are all different factions of this Inquisition that the Imperium runs, which is basically like, if you're not human, you're not good. If it ain't, white is right. They're the white is right crowd. Or like human is right? I don't know.
Coming soon to the Ethan Palmer soundboard.
I guess I'll give the disclaimer that I think these are bad people.
Right. That won't make the soundboard.
Not coming to the soundboard, yeah.
So yeah, this Ordo Xenos, they agree that the sensible course of action was to evacuate the homeworld of human life, not of Tau life. then to initiate an exterminatus order. And I will give you guys three guesses what an exterminatus order is. Or exterminatus, maybe?
Oh, it's you let loose all the giant crows to get rid of the bugs that are living in your cornfield, I think.
That's a good guess. That's one, but no. Peter, want guess two?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the. This is when you abandon the food chain where the crows eat the corn, the hawks eat the crows, the gorillas eat the hawks, right? It's where you just kind of supersede the whole thing. Probably turn the surface of the planet into glass, if that would be.
So you guys have kind of both got there now, because really, like, that food chain kickoff does start with the bugs, right? You unleash the crows to eat the bugs, and then the crows eat the foxes, and then the crows eat the gorillas, and then the crows eat the snakes. It turns out that crows just eat everything.
Everything. Kill
life on the planet. Yeah, exactly. It will be exterminated. Via crow. Death by crow, if you will. Or murder by crow, if you will.
It's why we have
them
under control currently, right? Murder she crowed.
Yeah. Instead of eating a crow, the crow eats you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what they meant.
The only other person I've ever heard use that expression was this girl I knew from South Africa. She always just, whenever she was like trying to avoid embarrassment, she didn't want to eat crow. And I was like, what?
Yeah, eat it. If you eat crow, it's if you're wrong about something and you say something. Like let's say in the podcast, white is right, and then it turns out that white is not right, then I'll be eating crow because I was wrong about something that I said publicly.
I was so worried about getting the phrase wrong that I was worried that I was going to eat crow on saying eat a crow. Because I never use that phrase. There it is.
I use it occasionally. It's in a Every Time I Die song, and that's why I know the expression.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is the show I was at where I was wearing a t-shirt that said music band on it.
Yeah. Eat crow. Dun, 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 dun. Is that it? No,
pretty close. Okay. Pretty close.
Okay.
So yeah, so this order Xenos of the Inquisition, who's there with General Gage on the front outside of Gelbrin, has decided that the Tau are clearly too dangerous of a species to continue to exist. So you know what? No more subjugating them. No more conquering worlds. Let's just scorched earth them, kind of thing. These planets aren't worth it because we're sustaining too many losses.
They gave people ideas and didn't consult me first.
Yeah. In the Imperial Command, however, or I guess the Imperial Command of the Crusade, there was not full agreement. Particularly the Astartes, so the Space Marines, there were those who saw the Tau as honorable enemies, ones who did not deserve to just be purged from space. They're like, hey, they're putting up a good fight. We love a good fight. Don't kill them because we'll kill you. And there's just this 12-foot tall elephant in the room telling you, don't issue that order or I'll kill you. The order doesn't get issued, I guess is what we could say. The talks dissolve into endless arguing, paralyzing the council as General Gage decides on a new course of action. He's like, well, that guy said he'd rip out my spine if I issued the order, so I'm going to think of something else. Maybe I could try being a good general. And it turns out that he just has some like good tactics that let him gain an upper hand. So,
Interesting. He's just like, oh man, this big guy threatened me into trying a second time. Damn it.
Exactly. So he forms up his remaining Titans with the Brimlock regiments and assaulted the right flank, splitting the defenders and trapping a host of them against the sea. So he managed to parcel off a good section, like drives the spear in, you know, kills defending forces because they have their backs against the ocean. Gage's artillery opens up, and the Imperial Navy launched their fighters against the Tau airfields, a costly move, but one that kept the Tau aircraft from the front. And the Tau aircraft were persistent and difficult to deal with, so they said, like, hey, you're going to take heavy losses. You just got to go in there and just stall them. Like, just stall them over there so our ground forces can get more work done, kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Imperials took their objective within a few hours, a town outside of Gelbrin with a bridge across the river to the city. For the rest of the day, a running battle was fought through the Daleth suburbs, or the Gelbrin suburbs, excuse me, and at the end of the day, the Imperials were only 5 kilometers from trapping tens of thousands of Tau between the city and the sea. There's those sweet civilian casualties we were looking for.
We got them.
With their backs against the wall, the Tau withdraw overnight and fall back to a new defensive line beyond Gelbrin. So now the Tau have been like, okay, this thing that we've been fighting over that you contemplated just, you know, incinerating all of us from space over, we're giving it up. This one city, Okay, it's yours. We got more cities. We're going to let this one go, kind of thing. So by morning, the tower gone and the city, besides for some lurking crew, firmly belonged to the Imperium of Man. They quickly secured the starport outside the city. And since the Tau defenders had retreated so far, they had an excellent opportunity for the successful evacuation of Imperial forces from Daleth Prime. And General Gage meant to take it. He's like...
A starport? That's the right side of the city, right?
Yeah. 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 So, General Gage is like, okay, we're on the right side of the city, or the left side of the city. I can never remember. Port.
I think port's left. I can't. Or starport. It's starboard.
It's starboard.
Oh,
man.
It's the middle. It's the middle.
I thought that was
city,
intentional. Yeah. I thought you were mixing them both and just being like, I can't remember which is which, but I'm glad you got them by mistake. Yes, port is left. Starboard's right. So General Gage is there and he's like, okay, we have an opportunity to get troops off the ground here. We're bleeding heavy, heavy losses. Like, we can't sustain this campaign from down here. So he's like, let's pop up. Let's go. No exterminatus order. Let's just get out of here. He was opposed by members of the Inquisition and the Adeptus Astartes, the 12-foot guy in the room.
The CIA had some stake in this.
The 12-foot tall guy is like, well, no, I didn't want to blow him up from space because I want to fight him. So yeah. let's stay here and fight.
Forever, if possible.
The point, or the argument, I guess, was rendered moot when an express astropathic order arrived in late 745 Millennium 41 from Inquisitor Fidus Cryptman. The order was to withdraw immediately and return to Brimlock with all available forces as quickly as possible.
Is this like the telegram system where it's just like, or this is the space carrier pigeon to get like a direct message to the general?
Exactly. They throw a pigeon into the warp and hope it comes out at the right place.
Yeah, of course. Naturally. With its tiny bird-sized mailbag tied to its little bird leg, and it's just like, but of course it's too stupid. It wouldn't know. It wouldn't know, like, a pigeon couldn't, like... understand the horrors of the warp.
Would the warp, because the warp kind of plays on your mind and plays on living things, so maybe it would show the pigeon what the pigeon thought was most horrifying. Like crows.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Right? Slaanesh is like half pigeon, half dove, and it's like, oh my god, disgusting.
I mean, if a pigeon's not smart enough, we could always use a corvid, because it seems like there's no shortage, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the bird animal fact could be pigeons are doves. They're just rock doves.
They are a rock dove, I know.
Rock doves.
Yeah.
By the B-52s.
I was just about to say that song.
Yeah. Rock, dove, and eagle or something, right? So they're getting ready to pull out. And then some people are like, no, we should stay here. We should finish this planet. And then, you know, we can call for reinforcements, kind of thing. When they get a telegram that says, everybody, boots on ships, let's go, come back, enough with the Tau, it's over. The Tyranid had arrived in the Milky Way galaxy for the first time. So this is the first time mankind has encountered the Tyranid, and they've shown up somewhere, and they're like, fuck your blue boys, like, get home. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. This ties into an old episode that we have about the Tyranid already.
Yeah. It's High Fleet Gorgon. They were considered a more pressing threat than the relatively soy boy culture of the Tau. It didn't help that the Segmentum Command had lost faith in Gage winning a quick victory over the Tau. So it was like, it's taking too long already. You guys should have gained more ground. We don't have reinforcements to send you. We know it's going to be a failed campaign. Just get home. Like, we need your help over here.
Oh, that's cool. It's like you get caught smoking weed by the cops, but some guy with a gun goes running by and you're like, phew, that was close.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when that happens.
Yeah. Next time, reefer head, says the cop before he gets back into his car. Yeah.
Some guy runs by being like, so glad I escaped from the asylum. Now I can go to the mall. And he's just waving an AK. Thank
firing
God.
Wildly into the air.
Love it.
Maybe that weed was a little strong. I remember that situation.
So the Astra Militarum and the Astartes legions, they follow orders. They're good soldiers. They pick up and leave. It's noted by Imperial historians that the Tau in this moment probably could have blockaded the Crusades' retreat, or they could have interfered with the evacuation of Daleth Prime itself, and probably obliterated this Crusade force. But as an enlightened species, the Tau decided instead to open a diplomatic dialogue with the Imperium.
Waterboy's at it again.
The Crusade forces were allowed to withdraw, and the Firecast swiftly reclaimed the Tau Sept worlds, which had been lost at the outset of the conflict. So they retained the post-human worlds, which they had originally conquered and sparked the whole thing. So they did gain some ground in it all. While they did invest in diplomacy, the Damocles Gulf Crusade would mark over 200 standard years of war between the Imperium of Man and the Tau Empire, seeking to spread the greater good. So they chose the good Paragon option, and the gameplay outcome didn't change at all, where the Imperium of Man was still like, no, fuck you, I'm going to kill you. there was no immediate crusades. They were dealing with the Tyranid threat first, but that's like kind of the in-canon reason why if you're playing a game of Warhammer 40K, you can play the Tau versus the like Space Marines or the Astra Militarum or whatever. So yeah, they're allied at times. They're far from the biggest villain to the Imperium Man as far as Xenos go. They're okay. They're better than the Eldar, you know, those goddamn Bohemians. But yeah, and that's the Damocles Gulf Crusade.
Cool.
That's the episode. Thanks for listening, everybody. I've been your host, Ethan Palmer. You can find all our contacts at loreboys.com/about. If you like the show, if you want to help us out, think about leaving us a nice review somewhere, and or telling your friends. It's a great way to get the show to grow. The show has been growing like crazy. It's been amazing. You guys are all amazing. Join the Discord. Come say hi to us. We try and be present. We're not always the most online boys in the world, but we try. Peter, do you have anything you want to share and or plug?
Yeah, check out at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram if you want to see any of the title cards by themselves or just any of our little kind of midweek stories, whatever the fuck's going on. I'm getting dental surgery tomorrow, so I might be too whacked out on painkillers to finish anything right away, but that's never stopped me, so
maybe it'll be more inspired.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be like when I'm drooling blood, so we'll see what happens.
Pete just has one really, really big tooth, and they're taking it out.
Yeah, it's so, got to go. Yeah.
They said you're too wise for one man. Jamie, anything you want to share with the class?
Yeah, so get in that Discord, go to the About page. We have some people who joined this week are like, we finally did the About thing, checked out the About page. I know you hear it each week, you don't always do it. Someone finally did it, and as they're listening to us, they're able to talk to both me and Peter at the same time, and it was really cool. So if you want that type of experience, I definitely am in the Discord almost every day, so get in there. And if you are a patron too, you get extra roles. You can be in channels that get extra attention from us, although I'm pretty available in most of those things, and we can talk about behind the scenes lore boy stuff where not just anyone can see.
Yeah,
it. So
no. We talk about which boys we've kissed and such and so forth.
The boys, me.
I mean, yeah, it's both of you. I'm pretty sure I've kissed both of you at some point in my life.
Kissel, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah, I'm a podcast host. I'm not exactly sure how RSS feeds work. But there should be a description to this episode somewhere, and it should have a link to the Discord as well if you want to skip the About page. But loreboys.com/about should have all our socials. As we said before, we're not super active on most of them, but you can reach us. Discord is the best one.
Discord is the place to be. I do check the notifications like maybe twice a week on Twitter. If that's your thing of choice, go for it.
Yeah. We're too showbiz for such things. Speaking of showbiz, if you do want to support the show financially, like Jamie said, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Means the world to us, all our patrons. I don't know. I didn't look up if we have any new ones this week. I don't believe we do.
Not for this recording. I'm on top of that shit. Don't worry. As Loreboys treasurer, it is all good. Everybody has been credited for their needless support of the show. It's totally good.
Yeah, we gave Pete the treasurer role because we treasure him.
The community gifts to us have been taken care of thus far.
Yeah,
we're recording on Labor Day today, actually. So all patrons, you've been billed a time and a half.
It's going to be automatically deducted from your from your paychecks. And anybody who doesn't trust Patreon, of course, we do have Loreboys Prime, where we are trying to union bust the patrons. It seems like the patrons are trying to unionize. So we need our Loreboys Prime
for scab labor.
Yeah, those are our scabs, and we need you guys to get out there and crack some skulls, you know, put some teeth in a pavement kind of thing. Come on, what are we not paying you guys for? I mean, holy moly. So do sign up for Lore Boys Prime. Get yourself a stick wrapped in a newspaper that you can disguise so it doesn't look like a weapon.
Or a spray can with CFCs in it.
Yeah, enough CFCs to melt the ice caps on a planet and drown a whole bunch of union guys.
I think that's like Sea of Thieves, and maybe that's how the Sea of Thieves was made because of all the global warming from the CFCs.
The thieves are the capitalists, bro. You haven't been listening.
And I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Out.
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 Tout.
O'U'T.
Yeah, actually.
You guys love Fed Smoker, but this isn't the Fed Smoker's mom's house, okay, Jamie? Jamie, don't pull out your tooth. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, I have a little flosser.
Oh, it's a flossy fork.
I ask if you're ready to start recording, and you decide to start flossing. Not the cool kind in Fortnite yet. Either. Okay,
we didn't start yet.
No, we've been hot for a little while now.
Oh. I want to floss in front of MLK.
I was going to say exactly that. Yeah. I'm gonna go whips me. Yeah, so I'm gonna go pay my respects at the colored drinking fountain by learning to floss properly. That was one of my favorite like corporate train wrecks of recent memory. This is just like the greatest cooperation of just like brain dead executives. Like, yeah, this is what's gonna work.
So put that guitar away, young man. Hey, there will be no rock and roll in my Christian high school, thank you very much.
Yeah. Today's episode, fucking Footloose.
All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Jamie's finger loose. He's Kevin Bacon, but he fingers the neck of a guitar.
Yeah, dude. WT fuck did you just say, dude?
My name's Ethan. If Jamie's gonna finger anything in my presence, it better be a guitar or a violin.
Yep. Dude, I've been I don't know, dude. I was gonna say a joke is stupid, so I play the guitar. I'll just say that.
Cool. Yeah, great. Great.
Yeah.
My name's Peter. If I wanted Jamie to finger anything in my presence, it would be the perp of a crime if he and I were witnesses at the lineup thing behind the glass. Sure. He could finger the perp.
Yeah, sure. I don't know why he'd put his fingers inside the butthole of a person suspected of doing a crime, but if that's what you want, Peter, that's your fantasy. My name's Ethan. I'm downloading Spelunky 2 right now.
Spelunky 2 looks pretty poggers. Try and steal from the shop owner, but see what happens. It might be good, might be bad.
Spelunky 2, more like Spunk on Me 2, right? That's a porn thing or a sex thing.
Yep.
Haven't heard of it.
Pour Some Sugar on Me. Who sings that?
The one-armed man.
Sugar on Me.
I just clicked Surprise Me on Game Pass. What do they think I want to play? Crusader Kings 3? No, I don't like inbreeding.
Was looking at that. There's some real horny mods you can get for that. Where
Crusader Kings?
Yeah, you can make all the people naked.
Alexei is currently like making on purpose to see how far he can get without his bloodline just falling to pieces. Just an incest empire.
Yeah, the Habsburgs did really well for themselves. Okay.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.